بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، My dear brothers and sisters, بإذن الله تعالى we are seeing changes happening in the world, and the biggest and immediate one is what we saw in the US just now. The question, of course, arises as to why bad leaders get elected or selected, or they prevail, or by whichever means, in the first place, and then, of course, why they remain there for that long. We are not, what we have seen is not the first change of its kind, and it won't be the last. So the question is, why does that happen? The corollary question in that, of course, is, which always keeps getting asked all the time, where we, when we talk about Islam, when we talk about Islamic leadership and Islamic ideas and so on, the examples of, or rather question of, you know, what must be done in the context of Islam and Muslims and our own destiny. What is it that we should do? How can we bring about change, which is, for crying out loud, it's one of the most incredibly important things for us to do, is to bring about this change within ourselves and within our community. And how do we do that? And of course, there are usually two schools of thought in this. One, to say that change happens top down, meaning that we must first have a Muslim state, we must first have Muslim government, and then change will happen. And then the other thing is to say that change doesn't happen like that. Change happens when we want change and we work to bring about change, meaning that there has to be a change of heart before any change can happen in our lives. So, but without a change of heart, expecting change to come about is not reasonable, and it cannot happen. Now, question to see, how do you answer that? You answer that by looking at, again, looking at history and saying what happened. When we look at this, what happened, for example, in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? What do we learn from the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? This is the thing for us to think about, and the thing for us to reflect on, and say, what is it in the life of Nabi alayhi salam that I can, from his life, that I can learn to apply in my own life today? Now, what we see from the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that for 13 years, the whole focus of his effort and his work was not establishing Muslim rule, it was not establishing the Muslim state, but it was the establishment of a Muslim way of life, Muslim way of life. Now, or rather, I must say, let me put it another way, establishing a Muslim way of life, meaning establishing the Islamic culture, Islamic way of thinking, values, ethics, morals, all of these. How do you do that? And only after that, only after that can any change be expected to happen. This is the this is what we learn from the life of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So we see the establishment of laws and rules and regulations and whatnot only in Medina after the 13 years of suffering in Makkah. Throughout the years of suffering in Makkah, the message always was have sabr, have some patience, patience, patience. Quietly bear it with patience. Not even retaliate, not even, in some cases, not even defend yourself. At no point did Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, for example, I mean, he could have done that. At no point did he tell anybody to attack the their tormentors. I mean, he didn't say, for example, to somebody directly or indirectly, can somebody get rid of Abu Jahl? Can somebody get rid of Abu Lahab or whoever? He didn't say that. Now, obviously, it was perfectly possible to do that. It was perfectly possible for him to have said that. It was perfectly possible for somebody to have done it. But we don't see that happening. We didn't see that happening despite the fact that the people concerned, Abu Jahl and Abu Lahab and so on, were so openly and clearly, they were so openly and clearly wrong and so openly and clearly against Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and against what he was trying to do. So the whole point is that, how did that, what is the logic behind it? Now, the logic is very easy to understand, which is that leaders can only come from the people. So if you take history, for example, take the Banu Umayya, you had the one leader of great repute, who was a very pious person, a muhaddis, an alim, was Umar bin Abdul Aziz, rahmatul alim. He succeeded Abdul Malik bin Marwan, and he was succeeded by Al-Walid bin Abdul Malik, the son of Abdul Malik. Now, in between, he was a nephew of Abdul Malik bin Marwan, and he was married to Abdul Malik bin Marwan's daughter. Now, his own life was beautiful. We hear a lot of very positive stories about his life. But what impact did he make on the Banu Umayya? Did anything change? And the short answer is nothing changed. Nothing changed. What was the impact of Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullahi alayh on the Banu Umayya or on their governance and so on and so forth? I'm not saying the Banu Umayya were evil. No, I'm just saying that he was there. And for example, very simple matter, which is that by the time it came to Banu Umayya, and Abdul Malik and so on and so forth, the Khilafah had disappeared, right? There was no Khalifa. There was Khalifa was in name. There was no Khalifa of the kind of the Khulafa in the Khilafah Rashida. Was Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullahi alayhi able to change that? Was he able to bring the Khilafah back and remove hereditary kingship, for example? Now, I know hereditary kingship has been accepted by the scholars of Islam. I know that I'm not saying that should be removed and abolished and so on and so forth. Those are different discussions. We are not getting into that now. I'm just saying that change can only come when the conditions for change are first created. We have also examples of times where Muslims took or set up or established states through political means, and then those states and these states were established in the name of Islam. They were established as Muslim states, but the experiment failed. There was nothing left of Islam or the beauty and the ethics and values of Islam in that state. It was a state like any other state, except that it was called the Islamic Republic of something or the other. right? Now the point is that this tells us. So we're looking at the American election and so on and so forth and whatever is in the future. One thing I remind myself of the importance of working on the heart, working on our behavior. Tarbiyatul akhlaq, tazkiyatul nafs, wa tarbiyatul akhlaq. This comes before all worldly goodness. And of course, obviously, this is also leads to goodness in the akhirah. If we want change, if we want good leaders, those good leaders are created in your homes. They are created in the nursery in your homes. They are created in the laps of their mothers. They don't just suddenly happen one day thanks to the ballot box. They are leaders only as good as they have been raised. And that's why I want to remind myself and you, focus on the raising of our children. Focus on their education, primary education, starting with primary education. I know it's a long thing. I know it takes a long time. I can't help it. I don't make the rules. Allah is the one who makes the rules. But that's how He created the world. So if you want that to happen, if you want great leaders, we have to start working from today. I know you and I will not see it. Doesn't matter. But we will be the people who laid the foundation, inshallah, for countries, for the world, which will be a world of peace and harmony and no wars and no oppression and the equitable distribution of wealth. And those of you who think that I am smoking something, no, I'm not. This is actually possible. This we have seen. Islamic history shows us this. It remains for us to replicate that. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وآله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.